right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, November the something 3rd, 2016. I'm Morps. I have been drinking a lot. What is this stuff? Devil's Cut. I've been drinking Devil's Cut, like, a lot. And I apologize for being sick last week, but I got knocked on my ass. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and misremembering what show number it is. I'm Morps, and tonight, we have... Are you? What are you drinking?
Insert witty pun.
Inserting witty pun. Madman! Madman, what are you drinking?
Cast Strength Makers on the rocks.
Nice. And finally, Suave. We all know Suave's a pansy and doesn't drink.
No, but I'm still a little pansy because I'm drinking a vodka and Sprite at the moment.
Did you run out of homemade toilet wine?
Yeah. I drank my last bottle last weekend. Now I'm just drinking what I have in the house. It happens to be vodka Sprite.
Could be vodka, could be toilet bowl cleaner. Good.
Pearl is having a keep reminding my wife that toilet is not for use, it's for brewing.
My cousin made a kind of garbage wine, served it at his wedding. He found actually wild cherries.
Oh dear.
Used baker's yeast and sugar.
Ooh. Yeah, no, that'll make some garbage wine.
Nobody died.
Nine people went blind, though.
Like, I remember when I was in high school, I made wine like that, and it works just fine. It's just not pleasant.
Back when I was doing beer brewing and I first got into it, I was given the Mr. Beer kit as a gift. And you go online and looked it up, and the first thing you found was this video review of the kit where the guy bought it at a garage sale, and everything in it had already turned black, but he tried to make the wine anyways, and the yeast was dead, so he just used baking yeast, and, you know, it made this horrible beer, so therefore the Mr. Beer kit is terrible. And it's like, oh my God. It's like, I found this car on the side of the road.
That's what I was just going to make an analogy to, man.
You know,
all BMWs are shit.
or even more accurately, I found this car on the side of the road. It was on fire, but it had a Gore sticker on it, so therefore all Democrats are crap. Yeah, it's just... Anyways, a little bit of station news. I got an interesting question on Reddit earlier this week, and I figured I'd just answer it on the show.
Finally get to know Morps' sexuality.
Oh, yes. It's straight.
I think he identifies as an attack helicopter. But not one of the cool ones. It's like one of the Afghani knockoffs of a decent attack helicopter.
Oh, there's like one of those BBC children's cartoons ones with the big smiley face that wear hats and you always wear a hat.
That's better than Madman's sexual identification as a Harvey Danielson.
Everyone loves a Harvey Danielson. Better rolled better only.
You know, the knockoff Harley Davidson?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, this question I got on Reddit was from Replicant 2077, who wanted to know if I took donations for decking. And I thought that was a bit odd, because with G15, there's never really been any money involved. We've always said if individual shows wanted to ask for donations, they could, but I never actually took advantage of it. I know Lore does. And I know he's got a whole segment he tacks on any of his stuff, but... I'd never even thought about it before. I mean, we always just kind of did it for fun. So flat out, if we did take donations, I would pretty much just put them towards running the station.
A round of beer for your panelists whenever we meet up. I demand a round of beer.
I mean, you know, shit like that, sure. But, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys, you have any opinion on it at all?
Whatever, it doesn't really matter. It's just a donation.
Yeah.
It costs money to run the site.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
It costs money to run the site.
You know, like, as long as, like, really, the whole donation thing, I have no problems with it, unless you're, like, saying every 5 seconds, hey, send me $5. It's only $5. You should send me $5.
That reminds me.
No, we're not doing that.
Prize Electrical still owes us money.
We still say their name.
We're still saying their name, man. They still always
stop.
So, I mean, I guess if anybody's curious, between the web hosting, the stream, and a few other little services the G15 stuff uses.
What do I find amusing, Morps? Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
You're flying your like plastic fucking, you know, I can't grow a beard helicopter around some park because it's your happy thing you like doing on the weekend, and you do it pretty well. Do you run around to people in the park and go, "Hey, look at me! Can I have some money?"
No.
But still, it's the same thing. It's hobbies, you know. I don't. Yeah. That's why I don't.
But you know, if you're out in the park and somebody were to be like, "Here's $20," then I would be like, "Thank you."
But I'm not playing a guitar. I don't get it.
Hey, some hobbies pay, others don't. If someone's willing to pay for a hobby, that's an electric bill that the server's using paid. Or
well, it's about $30 a month, if anybody's curious on the math of what it actually costs to run G15. It doesn't bother me that much, you know what I mean? We do it for fun. There's no money. There's never been any money involved because we have different bands that we get music from and play it on the stream, and we don't pay them. So, you know, it's like we've put ads on the stream or made money. That would get awkward. You know what I mean?
I think whoever's willing to donate a better use of the money. I know it's not going to me. It'd be going to Morps. But I would think, like, Friday night, down the pub, put whatever money you're going to give to Morps on the bar and go, "I'm shouting Galaxy 15 a fucking round of drinks. Who wants one?"
Yeah.
And then people go, "What's Galaxy 15? You go, "Well, here's my fucking mobile phone. Have a look."
Just hand some stranger your phone. Hope they don't set your language to simplified Chinese.
Yeah. You know,
hey, everyone should do that once. Everyone needs to know how to figure out how to change their phone back to whatever language you speak.
Yeah, but we had to go on YouTube and watch somebody change it back to figure out how to fix his phone.
All that matters is I can still make a phone call.
I can't remember what screen name he used to use in TeamSpeak, so that's why I'm saying just him.
Balt.
Balt? Baltaris. Yes, Balt. I'm not forgetting that. Oh, because he hasn't been on in like 3 years. Anyways. So, you know what? I like RU's suggestion. No, the station... G15 does not take donations, basically. And since decking is pretty much the only G15 show... We're not going to
Well, we would do IHN, but someone doesn't want to read the news.
Well, no, but IHN was its own entity before G15. we did find a fantastic IHN story. Did you see that link?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Unreal. Yeah, that was a fantastic link. Hang on. I need to find that and send that to Swolf. Dude got caught driving around a playground with, you know, wires coming out of his dick. I was like, "What the fuck, man?"
All right.
Like, there's home hacking the body, and then there's like borderline.
I wanted to be a cyborg. Come here, kids.
I don't think electro penis counts.
You want to learn how to turn into Optimus Prime?
I am Optimus Prime.
I drank the motor oil. God.
Would you like to pat a real transformer?
Oh.
It goes up and down.
All right, that's enough.
Goes from a roof to a log.
And sneezes milk when it gets excited.
That's horrible.
Come on, no South Park people.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was barely funny in, like, what was that, like, the early 2000s? Come on.
Yeah, but we've all been drinking, which, you know, greatly enhances
it. It stands the test of time.
Although, if you think about it, if you got a bunch of wire jammed up your dick, do you really want to risk it, you know, changing the physical shape of it?
Oh, a piece of wire is tame compared to what people shove up their dicks, man.
Come on.
No one searched cock stuffing, ever.
No. No, don't do that. We
great Christmas present, Grandma.
What was it you said the other day, Madman? Anything's a dildo if you're brave enough.
Oh, 101 recipes for cock stuffing and how to ask it on Google. And just a picture of like a roast chicken.
Fuck. I'm going to just rocket snail. first discussion topic, our only discussion topic, This article is from helpnetsecurity.com. Most employees violate policies designed to prevent you from looking up cock stuffing at work. I mean, to prevent you from looking up data breaches. I've got
to
add
to prevent
filters.
You from looking up data breaches, or to prevent data breaches.
To prevent data breaches. I've just now realized I've got a whole new set of terms I have to put on the firewall at work.
Oh yeah, people don't understand the importance of data security. I've got people pushing at work right now to put a bunch of our 3D models online for basically all our CAD information on the internet.
Really?
And I'm like, well,
do you have a URL for that?
That may not be the best idea.
Well, okay, but here's a question.
There's ways to do it safely. Like, you can actually go and basically factor in distortions into the models, so it's actually useless for anybody.
No. But okay, so these CAD models
gives away your designs.
Well, yes, but if you have a part that you're about to no longer make, and I guess the run of that is up, and you're not going to make more. I actually would like to see companies that design parts take their models for stuff that they're no longer going to produce or support, obviously. I mean, make your money. And put them online, because then you can take people like me who have a 3D printer, which after the washing machine I bought from you broke because some plastic latch, in the door broke or something, I can then 3D print a replacement because you put the model out there.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Well, true. Like, the stuff I'm talking about is 50 feet long, welded, and plasma cut, and heavily manufactured stuff. Like, it's not something that you will make in your garage.
You sir, tout my creativity.
and in the manufacturing world, everything's iterative. So yeah, sure, maybe that piece of equipment from 20 years ago, you're not building it anymore, but it may have designs in it that you're using in your current equipment.
Yeah, 80 parts from it out of
and
the
so like
89
who
still
are you
being
pay
used
to go and go through all this engineering work to make sure that it's safe to go on the internet, because that's costing the company money.
Sure.
And it's not earning the company any money to go put it online. So in some cases, it would be a clear-cut case, if it was something completely different than what you're selling. I once worked for a company that used to make elevators and quit making elevators and started making rotisserie ovens.
Well, actually,
you just shrink the elevator a bit and put heating elements in it.
That didn't help.
Why did your rotisserie still go up and down three stories every time you're gonna make barbecue?
But in a situation like that, I could totally support. I have no problems with just releasing your work.
Or if it's,
that's
if,
why rotisseries go bing when they open.
Well, I mean, but your point is well made. That if you've got important information and people don't even think about it, so. Companies are increasing technology investments to protect against external data breaches, but employees pose a bigger risk than hackers, according to the CEB. To migrate or mitigate the rising cost of breaches, organizations need to reduce the burden of complying with privacy policies. And I know this because this is shit I'm dealing with right now at work. I've actually got to do a project proposal, and it's probably going to be a big deal because it's going to be a pain in the ass, and I'm probably going to get burned at the stake because I'm going to be putting really hardcore encryption software on people's machines, but I don't care.
What do you
care.
Mean? Production might go down for 45 minutes?
No, I mean your machine might, it's going to automatically encrypt flash drives when you copy shit. You can use a flash drive, go ahead. If you take it home, it's not going to work.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I've got some cool stuff I'm working on, but it's going to be a pain in the ass, and we're going to have people lose their fucking mind when we put it in there, because it's change, and as we all know, change is horrible.
Variation is evil. Change cannot be tolerated.
Due to the advent of cloud-based productivity tools and the increase in collaboration between employees, more data is changing hands and leaving company-controlled networks than ever before. In fact, almost two-thirds of employees report regularly using personal technology for work, primarily for the sake of convenience. For example, sending a file from their company computer to a personal email account while they work, while they are not in the office. Well, you got employees willing to work when they're not in the office. There's something to be said about that. So, in choosing convenience and productivity over security, employees put sensitive data at risk, and the costs are significant. The average Fortune 1000 company already spends more than $400,000 notifying customers and employees of privacy failures each year, and that's only for failures that are reported. 45% of internal privacy failures are caused by intentional but non-malicious employee actions. In other words, they have employees who know what the policy is, and they're saying, fuck it, I'm getting my job done. So you have another – this article goes on to talk about how important it is that employees are going to work around controls, especially if they think that they're onerous. So they go into designing your business such that you're not collecting things that you shouldn't, and build privacy into workflows so that it's easier for the employee to comply. But if your privacy controls are actively getting in people's way, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
It is a pain in the ass to design this stuff properly. That's why I was complaining about it in the middle of the article. Is because that's what I'm trying to do right now, is design it properly in such a way that we're not going to get in people's way.
Yeah.
We can still let them do their job. We just happen to be putting a wrapper on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you build it right in so it's not... So it's just part of the process.
So,
yeah.
For example, back to that flash drive example, they're asking me to either, you know, it's like, well, whether we can just block flash drive use, which is an option, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you just can't copy files off to a flash drive. Honestly, a lot of people probably wouldn't notice, but we have a lot of people who would. Well, that's getting in the way. We're going to have people actively getting around policy because, you know, this is a pain in the ass. So they'll set up Dropbox, or they'll start emailing their personal emails, or they'll do something to get these files moved around if they can't copy them on a flash drive, right?
Right.
So, well, if you want to just go one route, you can actually set up a Windows group policy that you're not allowed to write to anything that's not encrypted with BitLocker, which would work. You know, tell people right click the flash drives and encrypt them with BitLocker. I don't want to train accountants to do that. I don't even want to show Madman how to do that. I mean, let alone, you know, people who don't know shit for shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the software I'm going to tell them to buy, which lets them, you know, we'll basically just do it automatically, and everyone by department will get their own key. That way the help desk can get pull the key. And it's like, I can't get to my data here, you know? So, you know, it's going to be expensive to do it right. Don't get me wrong. We're probably looking at if I could guess right, probably $100,000 spend.
Oh, wow.
Well, for the number of licenses we'll need. But, you know, what do you do? It's either you do it right, or people are going to ignore it, go around it, whatever. So,
and people that need to work from home, do you issue them a company computer, or are they using their own computer?
Most of them are issued company computers. We have a few people who are issued a company computer, but like their computer better. And I actually almost got in a fist fight with one of our managers because he didn't understand why I was getting so worked up about this stuff.
Well, the company computer, just stick the software on it so it can read the hard drive, or
yep,
the thumb drive, and their personal computer, just be like, I'm sorry, dude, I can't secure your personal computer, so you can make it not your personal computer and give it to the company, in which case you're not going to be able to do a lot of stuff that you want to do on it anymore, but it'll be able to read this thumb drive.
Well, I'm kind of working on some solutions for that, too, based around MDM style stuff, but that's not relevant to the conversation. The point is, I'm going to be doing months of work as opposed to just, you know, 5 seconds in the group policy editor just to turn shit on. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I get it. I know what people are going to do. If I just go turn shit on, they're either going to complain to the right people and get it turned off, because that's happened before. where somebody just raises enough hell till finally a manager says, you know what, hell with it, just turn it off.
Yeah.
And, you know, then it's, you know, you've bought all this expensive security stuff and they've just turned it off because it was in the way. Or they'll find a way around it and just share how to get around it. you know, or, static's on the channel. But, Madman, you remember what we used to do in high school? The fucking fortress password written on all the whiteboards.
Or you could spend 21 bucks and get a motivational 2x4.
There you go.
What, yep. A taser monkey.
Yeah. Yeah, taser monkey would be a way to do it too. So
is that just like a random monkey hopped up on like PCP
with a taser
strapped to its hand that just randomly runs around the office?
Usually cattle prods a little better.
You use the pharmaceutical grab bag so you don't actually know what you're hopping the monkey up on? Yo, because anytime you see the monkey running around hyped up with an erection, you just run.
It's like, yes, it got Viagra this week. It's going to rape you while tasering you.
And it knocked over Jimmy the copy boy, and oh, poor Jimmy. He's going to need dental work.
And lots of it.
And therapy.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that. Our HMO doesn't cover therapy.
But it does cover an act of being raped in the face by a taser-wielding monkey.
Where are we buying our policies?
Are you sure this isn't the IHN show?
It's kind of going that way. Madman, what do you think? I mean, about trying to get around the policies? Where you work? Obviously, don't worry about telling us where you work, but where you work, do people actively try to get around shit?
They've really cracked down on anything that could be used to remove data. Like, we're not supposed to have our cell phones out in our workstation anymore because some idiot took a selfie in front of his workstation with information possibly showing.
I think there was a guy in the Navy who went to jail for that.
Yeah, 1 year. But, yeah, so no cell phones. The USB ports are off on my computer. And if they catch me plugging anything into it anyway, yeah.
Can you lose your job?
Yes, I could lose my job. Mm-hmm. There is no plugging an unauthorized device up there. And most of our work has to be done on a company computer. If you're traveling, they issue you one. It's encrypted. You can't let it out of your sight. They say if for some reason you have to leave it in a car, lock it up. But they usually say don't stick it in the hotel safe. Stick it wherever. That thing's supposed to be attached to you.
And you know what they say? Anything's a dildo if you're brave enough.
Anything's a dildo if you're brave enough. So yeah, shove that fucker up your ass. But it also varies a bit from department to department. I don't have to move data outside of work for my job. Though if I'm doing anything that could look like moving data, there's nothing job related to it. All the data I get is being sent to me. I then forward it to different departments, but nothing has to come home. So my department is the most stringent because no employee has a reason to take. There are some people that may handle loans that could do some stuff from home, but mostly those still do work machines and usually from the office. If they do have to do something from home, it is still from a company-issued work machine, and all you can do on that machine is work.
What do you think, are you?
I have nothing, man. Like, there's nothing more I can add.
Well, I mean, you used to go around your IT guy all the fucking time.
I mean, dude, there was no thing.
I was helping security. You at times, but, you know.
Yeah, there was no security at my workplace, and it was because it was security through obscurity. No one knew what they were doing, so everything was safe. Until that day, remember I was telling you about?
Yeah.
That So yeah, when it, you do have a bad day, you're going to have a real fucking bad day. But Madman wrapped it up what you should be doing.
My previous employer, I did some workarounds on kind of software glitches, because they wouldn't upgrade the hardware to match the new software that our vendor was using. And that involves some really interesting ways to find how to reset your computers.
I know back when I used to work at a grocery store, we figured out that the Ticketmaster machine, you could get out of their little shell and into an actual Windows interface by trying to go to help and then browsing for a topic. You could eventually get it to give you an Explorer box. Right-click Windows File Explorer, run it, and get a real desktop.
Nice.
I figured out how to print money orders and send wire transfers without credentials.
Always good.
I used to print out government documents on my desk at work from the government file. And I didn't work for the government.
Damn, now I feel like I was just slacking off by playing Leisure Suit Larry on the company.
Dude, I got into that by dorking.
I know you did.
I was looking online for the form I needed for my herpaderp, and suddenly I accidentally found my way into all the documents.
Alright, let's move on here. So the first news article is from Ars Technica. Once again, large swaths of the internet in the United States were affected by a major morning outage today, and this was yesterday. This time, it was the Tier 1 network service provider Level 3. Why is a Tier 1 named Level 3? Anyways, Level 3 Communications, that was at the center of the problem, which disrupted parts of the internet's backbone. For the moment, it does not appear the outage was triggered by a denial of service attack like the DNS the attack on DynDNS on the 21st. In a statement sent to the media, Nikki Weir, Level 3 Senior Director of Communications, wrote, "Our technical team is looking to the issue to determine the cause. Our priority is to ensure that the reliability of our network and services. We will provide updates as more information becomes available." Level 3 spokesperson confirmed the company's networks had been restored to normal functionality by 1600 Greenwich Mean Time, about noon Eastern Time, but said no other information was available yet. The outage had no major impact on major streaming services that use Level 3, including Netflix and HBO Go, but it did affect some customers' voice and internet services. Level 3 suffered another brief outage a month ago caused by human error. Or a human error, as it's written in the article. Level 3 is in the midst of a proposed acquisition by CenturyLink. Ours will update the report as more information becomes available, which obviously they have not done. If I had to guess, janitor tripped over the extension cord on the server rack.
That would be hilarious.
So, well, I like how it says a human error, not just human error. It means we're blaming it on somebody. That was Bob's fault.
Blew a breaker box.
They probably pushed out a bad config to their routers or something like that. That's the usual kind of thing when it's not a DDoS attack. But, you know, because the idea that your network is designed so weakly that somebody tripping over a rack power cord or, you know, having one bad router could take the whole thing down, that's not real inspiring for your network design there.
Hold up, did that happen on the 2nd or on the 1st?
Yesterday, 2nd.
Okay. There was an interesting outage on the 1st, and I was just wondering if this...
I think that was Mirai botnet stuff, which I do have another story on here later. So, next article is from blog.a9t9.com. Which is, this is a little bit of hearsay on this article. A lot of people are worked up about this one. The Web of Trust browsing extension logs your web browsing, reports identities, top politicians' private details in the data. The German public TV station Nordstrich Rundfunk reported that they were offered data that included the surfing habits of 3 million German citizens. It seems this data was at least partially collected by the Web of Trust browser extension. As bad as it sounds, the TV station was able to use this data to identify the browsing habits of individual persons, including high-ranking German and EU politicians. The data trail extends up to persons around Chancellor Merkel. Information about travel and meetings, preparations for internal meetings, dealing with interest groups, and even private matters such as wealth and health was retrieved from the data. As the TV station comments, this impedes political work and can make politicians susceptible to blackmail. And obviously, if the data gets out in the wild, more people could be embarrassed. Upon request, Web of Trust informed the journalist that its data protection guidelines indicate that certain data is collected and shared with third parties. Web of Trust, however, would make great efforts to anonymize the data. The data is then sold by Web of Trust to third parties. TV stations receive the data from such a third party. Reporters from the NDR have been able to personally identify more than 50 users, for example, via email addresses in which the name is located, logins, or other components of the called URLs. One non-political example is a manager living in German city of Hamburg. The Web of Trust data sent included, among other things, a series of links to an online storage service which he has filled with documents for a house construction. Anyone who knows these addresses may obtain bank statements, architectural drawings, payroll statements, and blah, 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 blah. The name and address of the manager and his wife are visible as phone numbers and email addresses. Criminals could use this documentation to hijack the data. Yeah, this is bad. So, Web of Trust, for anybody who doesn't know, was an attempt at sort of a, I guess what you'd say, crowdsourced list of bad websites. The idea was you would install the Web of Trust add-on and then give feedback on websites as you went to them, whether or not they were attack, malware, you know, whatever, anti-privacy sites. And then if you went to a site that everybody else had said was bad, you'd get warnings, and Web of Trust would, you know, stop you from going there.
Does that mean that now if you have Web of Trust installed and you go to the Web of Trust website, it's going to be marked as bad?
Probably, yes. given the irony of these situations. But, yeah, so it seems like Web of Trust has been collecting your browsing habits and selling them. And, of course, you know, this whole exercise of, oh, we've looked at these browsing habits and we were able to de-anonymize so many people. Well, duh. It happens anytime, whether the data's been anonymized or not. This kind of stuff, there's always... It's never de-anonymized properly because the people selling it don't give a shit whether or not they really get it de-anonymized. They write a script that, you know, tries to munge the data, usually looking for IP addresses and whatever they're looking at the time on their sources. They're usually not thinking about what's in URLs, and a lot of websites still use the URL to send data in forms or variables or whatever. So, you know, the fact that that data is in there is not surprising in the least. It is a little concerning, though, that an add-on like Web of Trust, which privacy was one of the things that advocated, was the ones collecting your usage.
Anybody looking at my internet history has some sick fucks. That's all I can say. What the fuck are they into that shit for? Bad enough I looked at it. Somebody else is going to look at it.
So, I don't think I've ever actually recommended Web of Trust on Decking.
First I'm hearing of it, so...
Yeah,
it's usually NoScript and AdBlock I recommend. Although I think uBlock Origin is the in favor web AdBlock these days.
Yeah, that's what I got installed on Chrome, right?
Yeah.
Digital hipsters.
Yeah, whatever.
I just know that AdBlock's not catching everything on YouTube anymore.
That's true, it's not. So...
I don't know if they're getting lazy or getting bought out.
Actually,
I think YouTube's getting good at circumventing
YouTube
that
is
stuff.
Getting good at it. And in fact, I'm going to reorder from my notes a story right now because it fits the conversation. This is from blog.bugreplay.com. So when I post the show notes later today, this is going to be in the wrong order, but I don't really care. Okay, so Pornhub has bypassed ad blockers with WebSockets. So, anyways, they've got all kinds of discussions on Reddit and Hacker News they're linking to. And they even have a video of the bug replay recording of Pornhub dodging ad block, and they said it's at not safe for work level medium. So that's pretty good on Pornhub if you're trying to do a demonstration, trying to set that it's not completely not safe for work, you know.
It's only medium not safe
Pornhub
for work.
Pornhub at work. I don't know. People do it, dude.
Dude, check out this sweet Minecraft video I found.
Hey, they do have Minecraft videos on Pornhub. I want to point that out.
Shut up. Stop legitimizing Pornhub as a video fucking service.
Are they Let's Plays, or are they like really, really horrible 3D renderings that nobody should watch?
I don't
it's
know.
It's not porn.
They're
somewhat
things.
Let's Plays, but it's still Pornhub, so you're going there for porn. I don't give a damn what else they put there. It's kind of like the articles in Playboy.
I mean, are you really going to watch two Tetris blocks go at it? I mean, it's fucking Minecraft. Are you really going to watch two Tetris blocks?
Have you ever been to a little website called DeviantArt? Don't ever underestimate the sickness of individuals.
Dude, I think somebody could rub one out to Minecraft porn. Now, I'm not going to say it's anyone in this channel, but I do believe it's possible.
Go $50, I'll have a try.
I'm not paying you to masturbate.
It's worth a try. Morphs gets donations. Why can't I?
He's getting donations for what sometimes is good content. I'm not entirely certain this show's going to qualify with as much rocket snail as we've done, but usually good shows.
So I like the comment here. We tried to find the most PG page on MindGeek's network to use as an example. It wasn't easy. It's hours and hours of arduous research trying to find the most safer work link on Pornhub.
Yeah, arduous my ass. You were beating the shit out of each other with Nerf toys to see who gets the job.
When I was building the prototype for Bug Relay, I was evaluating different methods of capturing and analyzing network traffic from Chrome. One of the first things I saw, so this blog is written first person, obviously. One of the first things I saw was the Chrome.web request API. From the documents, you use the Chrome.web request API to observe and analyze traffic to intercept, block, or modify requests in flight. So after experimenting with the Chrome request API, the author quickly realized there was a big problem. It didn't allow him to analyze any WebSocket traffic, something he really wanted to support. So as he was searching the web, trying to see if there was a way, he was misreading the documentation or looking in the wrong spot, he found a bug report from 2012. Chrome.web request on before request does not intercept web socket requests. In the bug report, users were complaining that without the ability to block web sockets, websites could get around ad blocks fairly easily. If web socket data was not visible to Chrome extensions via the web request API, they could not be blocked without some heavy-duty hacks. Initially, the risk ad blocks seemed theoretical. August 2016, employee of the company that owns Pornhub started arguing against adding WebSocket blocking capabilities to the Chrome API. Pornhub is the 63rd most visited site on the internet. That's
fucked.
according to Alexa. He checked out a few MindGeek sites, and sure enough, he could see the ads coming through even though he had Ad Plus turned on. The ads on Pornhub were marked by Traffic Junkie, which is an ad network owned by MindGeek. In the screenshot below, you can see the banner ad and the top of the page. I wonder how long it took him to find an ad that wasn't... Yeah, that
it
he
wasn't
could post.
Make your penis bigger?
Well, no, I mean, they've got one on here. It looks like it's a making your penis bigger ad, but it's at least, you know, everyone's covered. So when you visit Pornhub, it tries to detect if you have an ad blocker. If it detects one, it opens a WebSocket connection that acts as a backup mechanism for delivering the ads. So if you watch the recording, you can see a number of network requests triggered by that are blocked by AdBlock. They're marked as failed in network traffic, and if you click one to inspect it, you can see it's blocked by client. If the error is reported by Chrome when an asset is... Yeah. So, okay, you get the error that it's blocked, and then you start seeing the WebSocket requests coming in for the ads anyways, and it does JSON and loads up the ads. So yeah, it's
I'm interesting. Shocked. It's just like the it's like an evolutionary war where
the way both of you block and ad block are trying to get around it is making it more difficult for the website to detect that you've blocked their ads. They can't block WebSockets because Chrome doesn't expose that. Well, it doesn't even talk about Firefox, so I don't know.
Porn has always been on the cutting edge of monetizing the internet.
That's true.
True.
Yeah.
Hey, didn't they invent, like, credit card payments?
Yeah.
Or digital credit card payments, I should say.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting considering PayPal and CC Bill and a lot of those websites now say, oh no, you can't use it for a porn site.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb. From a business standpoint, I'm like, I'm sure they would make so much money. People still pay for porn, I'm sure.
Well, it's always funny when you see a website complaining that their PayPal got shut down, and you know it's like, we're not even really a porn site, but they said we were a porn site, and that violates terms of service. So,
look, I sell used cars. I'm not a porn site.
So, next article is from Ars Technica. Authorities say they arrested an 18-year-old iPhone app developer on charges of felony computer tampering. After he unleashed code, yes, he unleashed it. It was chained up. Unleashed code that threatened to take down emergency 911 systems in large swath of Arizona and possibly other states. Let's see.
So the code was threatening them? Yes, I want to hear this code. It is awesome. It's like, dude, I'm about to take down 911. Fuck you, bitches.
Mikumar Hespatari Desai. Dude, you've got vowels in that name that should not be there.
I just heard Patriot Act is being enacted.
What do you mean, man? His parents probably came over on the Mayflower. He sounds so first, you know, American.
Dan's accused like of publishing a web link that causes iPhones to repeatedly dial 911, according to a release published Thursday by Arizona's Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. On Tuesday night, officials alleged the 911 system operated by the Surprise Arizona Police. I've been to Surprise Arizona. Yes, that joke gets old very quick. Surprise! You're in Arizona. Police department received more than 100 hang-up calls in a matter of minutes. The volume allegedly put authorities in immediate danger of losing service to their switches. So they DDoS 911. The emergency assistance from nearby Peoria Police Department and the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office also received a large number of repeated calls. Agencies in California and Texas were also affected, authorities said. The release said the 911 calling code was hosted on a site with the name Meet Desai, a link posted on the HackSpot YouTube channel, and one or more Twitter accounts then encouraged people to click the link. Authorities said they found evidence it had been clicked 1,849 times. That is a very specific number. In an email, why not just round it up to 1850? In an email, the operator of the YouTube channel said the link does not contain anything harmful. I am not associated with any type of personal hacking. It's just a fun prank that many other big YouTube channels covered as well. According to the image, Desai pointed Thursday to Twitter, various pages on the site. Meet Desai, the address was unreachable on Friday, but a cached version of the site is temporarily available. Received more than 1,000. Oh, so after they complained about it, you know, you had 151,000 more people go click it. It isn't entirely clear that the links were the ones alleged to contain the attack code, but Desai did not respond to requests for an interview. Still, even if a portion of the links caused foes to simultaneously dial 911, they had the potential to disrupt vital emergency services. According to the recent release research reported in the Washington Post journalist Kim Zier, a proof-of-concept attack devised by researchers in Israel required just 6,000 infected smartphones in a geographical area to tamper with 911 systems for the entire state of North Carolina. Why did they pick North Carolina to test from Israel? I'm just curious.
Isn't that where NORAD is or something?
Maybe.
The headquarters for NORAD is in Cheyenne Mountain, which is out west.
But they want you to think.
Probably. I thought that's where the Stargate was.
Actually, yes. If you're watching the series, they stuck it under NORAD.
Actually, you are wrong. The Stargate is in Vancouver. I've seen it.
That's where the set is. Stargate was filmed in Canada.
Oh, I shouldn't have made that joke. We're not going to get anywhere else tonight.
No, I want you to break the story down from the official spin to what actually really happened, Morps. Like we did when we burst out laughing when we saw the photo of this kid.
So, okay. This guy came up with a Twitter link, just a URL that would cause your phone to misbehave and just start dialing 911, hanging up and dialing it again. And I'm getting a lot of people came up with this link, and his got popular on Twitter for some stupid reason. So now he's the one that the police are going after for shutting down 911, because you're kind of fucking with them at that point.
And his mug photo looks like a kid that's, you know, got a semi trailer coming at him at a million miles an hour. Yeah. The headlights.
Yeah. Why he doesn't am I here have again? That. Oh, right, the yeah. bodies.
He doesn't have that smug shit-eating grin most of these asshats have. You know, he genuinely fucked up.
Well, I mean, not only that, but he used his own website to do it.
I don't think he intentionally, maliciously did anything. I think he created something, he didn't quite know what it did,
and
threw it out there.
So he didn't know what phone it was going to be calling?
I don't know exactly.
I don't think he expect. It's probably like decking, where it's like we probably have thousands of people listening, and I think we have like five. So I sit there and give instructions on how to avoid the police, and then the next thing I know, it's like, wait a minute, what? Fuck, yeah. People listen to that?
I genuinely think, looking at the kid reading the article, he's being chucked under a bus in the idea of fear of hackers.
Well, the fact that he has, you know, an Islamic name doesn't exactly help.
Yeah, I suppose.
They would not be stereotyping him that way.
No, it's
he's not
profiling.
A terrorist because he's a Muslim. Profiling. He's a terrorist because he's a terrorist. And he's a Muslim.
Oh, shit.
Madman bought and paid by Trump.
Because he... Well, the other way around, just like Fries, he won't pay us to stop saying his name either.
Oh, God, you can stick his name on a porn site, he won't fucking care. Trump's like, oh, you mean people are talking about me?
So I've got this new idea for a Pornhub channel. We're going to stop that right
porn
now.
Porn Trump. I got a new website. Porn Trump.
I bet that's been registered. I wonder how much Trump masks on Amazon are. Because I bet you could really get a lot of actors who are willing to go on or do porn. You know, people who wouldn't normally do porn. It's like, no, you're wearing a mask. It's fine. God.
Oh, God, the chick and the dude wearing a Trump mask.
Dude, like, we can register it's like, it.
It's like there's somebody in 4chan who will fap to it, I'm sure. We won't. We'll all be sitting there going, my God, I can't believe people are watching this. But...
Dude, Porn Trump is available. PornTrump.com.
Well, yeah, that's because somebody's probably already registered Trump porn, which way better.
All right, gonna check Trump porn.
Okay, I've got to call it out. Psychros in the chat room just saw a video of dudes in Trump masks doing a gangbang. Guess somebody beat us to it. I have to come up with some other $1 million idea.
Oh, God, Psychros, why did you watch? Or was it just the thumbnail? I won't blame you if it was just the thumbnail.
See, my get-rich-quick scheme here was to continue to do this till Trump bait us to stop. So,
oh, fuck, you weren't kidding. There's shit tons of porn devoted to Trump. Oh, there's even a Megyn Kelly porn. Oh.
It was, oh, that's the best answer Psychros could have given. It was on Pornhub front page a while ago.
Back to the previous, were you looking for a Minecraft Let's Play at the time?
Oh, shit. Do we care about the Mirai botnet story?
What did it do and how well did it do it?
That's the all the cameras on the DVRs. Apparently, they knocked. They apparently knocked a country off. What country? I thought the article said what country. I don't remember now. Where'd it go? Article 11 terabyte attack, which a few weeks ago earlier took off Brian Krebs' website. Yeah, this week the Mirai botnet, also another Mirai botnet known as Botnet 14, began targeting a small, little-known African country, sending it the entire country offline. What's the name of the fucking country? Liberia.
It knocked Liberia offline. Okay, yeah, they knocked the computer offline.
Yeah. it goes to Africa, unless you're getting the continent, it's not worth mentioning.
Cyclops is looking for the Youngcast Hole Digger series.
Every hole is our goal.
Patient Zero did a song about that. And we'll leave it at the awkward silence as we rocket snail on to the next story here. Last story for the evening. Send the fucking link. There it goes. This is from helpnetsecurity.com. They did a survey. Most of the activity on the dark web is legal and mundane. Tiberium Labs has conducted a data-driven, fact-based research report that looked to identify what's really taking place on the corners of the internet. And they made a chart. So of all of the stuff on the dark web, what did they test? Tor? For the most part, term dark web immediately conjures thoughts of illegal drug dealing, pornography, and weapons, blah, 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 blah. Research found that half the dark web content is legal. What dark net? We found the dark web.
You see, they went to the dark web and they looked at every single page on the dark web.
It doesn't count if you just turn off the lights in the room you're in. What we found is the dark web isn't quite as dark as you may have thought. The vast majority of dark web research today is focused on illegal activity, while overlooking the existence of illegal content. Took a complete view, holistic view of the dark web, good and bad. Key advantage of the study is the approach was having Tiberium's dark web crawler, which continuously scours the dark web, adding billions of new records to its database every day. Unrivaled data set included blah 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 blah. Hidden behind caption logons. Sampling this more exhaustive population of dark web sites, a methodology used to minimize selection bias and provide a more comprehensive. So 47.7% of the activity in their findings were legal. 17% of the sites were down, which is way better than when I play around with Tor. Usually it's like 75% of them are down, but hey, whatever. 12% were devoted to drugs. 6.8% were explicit. Really? It's only 7% of the dark web is porn? Kind of disappointed.
I guess there's enough on the clear surface net. Anyway.
But yeah. Porn is illegal.
Child.
Okay, I don't really want to go there, but okay, I can now see that.
Rape porn?
Yeah, but most of that's fake. Yeah, I guess
I figured there
should
be regular
ones.
Porn on the dark web like there is on the regular web.
That's what I would have thought.
What'd you do with all the old content from Motherless? We put it here. I mean...
URL, please.
So, multiple illicit categories was another 6.5%. 3.2% is devoted to pharmaceuticals. Other illicit activity, 1.5%. Hacking exploits, 1.3%. Fraud, 1.3%. Exploitation, 1%. Downloadable was what does that mean? Downloadable.
I'm wondering what exploitation means.
Probably with regards to how to hack people.
Okay.
And then extremism was 0.2%. So...
Oh, yeah, the storm fags are on pole, dude. You don't need to hide that shit.
they're not bothering with dark webs, so...
Oh, yeah, the Jews and the storm fags fight on pole.
So, anyways, I just thought that was kind of comical, actually, that half the crap they found on Tor was, whatever. It's just regular shit.
How did they find all of the web pages on the darknet to even... Like, that's, like, the definition of the darknet.
Oh, they built
like,
an indexing bot. It just spiders it, just like anything else.
Well, yeah, but, like, that's only the stuff that's all linked together. What about the stuff that's not? Like, that's the majority of the darknet.
Well, they probably do what I do when I'm bored, which is go on Pastebin and just search for .onion.
Fair enough.
And just feed that in and let it follow as many links as it can. I mean, it's probably not that hard to do. But
I'll bet you there's a lot of websites out there that aren't discoverable that.
More than a little bit.
Yeah. And there's a reason they're not linked to anything else.
Yeah, because they're the illegal ones.
Good reason.
Yeah.
Most of the time, those activities, they don't bother with websites. They just have IRC channels or whatever.
Right.
So, usually they hit those through Tor or whatever, but whatever. Now, go back to my last sentence and realize how empty it would have been without the word whatever.
Hey, whatever.
Let's move on to this. Hadouken! All right, first Digital Dojo link tonight is a GitHub project, and it is comical. It is a fake SSH server that was written in Go that accepts any login and just records the commands that are fed to it. It doesn't actually execute them. It just, you know, every request gets logged, everything goes into it, and it doesn't error out. It just doesn't do anything. And
so you're building a honeypot?
It is a honeypot, yes, but it's a different kind of honeypot. As opposed to collecting passwords, it just lets anybody in. And now, obviously, if you try to log into this as a regular person, you're immediately going to realize, I'm not getting a command prompt. What the hell is going on? Actually, I think it does give a command prompt. It just doesn't do anything. So, like, you get a prompt, you type, you know, LS or who am I or your name or, you know, any of the usual stuff you try to use to identify a system. And just nothing. You just don't get anything back. It just doesn't do anything.
Oh, I got the retarded computer. Doesn't know what it is.
Yeah, so you just, you know, yeah, well, whatever. You disconnect and move on with life. But most of the SSH attacks these days aren't, they're not a human. They're automated. Which means you're going to collect all the commands they throw at your SSH server very quickly. And you can use those logs to identify SSH bots that are doing attacks and just, you know, feed those IPs somewhere, like, say, your firewall.
Find the sequence of commands, and if you just see that sequence of commands, just don't allow them to resolve. Like, well, boot this guy.
If you see anything where it's like it's giving more than one or two commands and it's trying to pull code down, yeah, kill it. So, you know, I mean, most of these bots aren't going to be smart enough to figure out that they got in on the first try. So, Psychro says it's not going to get you anything useful. I think it will. I think it'll get you the command strings that bots are using.
For a research point, it is. It's useful.
Absolutely, a research point. If you're actively hoping to use this for defense, there are way better botnet, honeypots out there.
How are you going to troll a bot? It doesn't give a fuck what you do. I now kind of want to try to troll a bot. I'm also reading Cycross.
No, Cycross is right. I misread what he said. He said it might be a good way to troll the attack bots if you get anything useful. I thought he had written you won't get anything useful.
Oh, okay.
No, I misread his. I was leaning back in the chair and I've been drinking. And so, and it's more fun to say you're wrong on the internet, right? So
that's what half the internet's for.
I thought that was the entire YouTube comment section. And Anyways, final thing I have in Digital Dojo today before the show gets any worse is a interesting ebook collection I found. It's mostly focused on survivalism, but there's a whole bunch of books in here from the 1900s, like the old school Boy Scouts manual that still told you how to do shit, where they took all that out. Old school farming guides from the 1900s, complete manual of archery, beekeeping, how to make vinegar.
How to get the most out of your DDT.
I didn't see that one. Bayonet training. They got a whole bunch of army field manuals in here. So it's
pretty much
how to rebuild society if, you know, the worst happens. You know, Hillary gets elected, starts World War III. You come out of the cave. You need to know how to make baskets. There's the book, How to Make Baskets, 1915.
Dude, you'd be too busy running from the mutant zombies.
Nope. There's the Army Field Manual in here somewhere. Army Tactical Combat, Causality, and Wound Care. U.S. Army How to Avoid Getting Lost, and warriorskills.pdf. So, yeah, you know, you can deal with mutants.
Those books are always good, man. I've got a heap of them for my father-in-law. Mm-hmm. He used to be a farmer. So he's got all these old farming almanacs and stuff like that. Tells you how to powder yourself down with DDT to stop lice.
So it's interesting because it's all this stuff from like the 1900s. It's back when the information in books was still actually useful. You know, it's before they started going, oh no, people are going to use it to hurt people. We have to take the knives out of Boy Scouts.
Oh, fuck no.
So... Remember that was a big deal, I want to say about 15 years ago, that, oh, they're giving the Boy Scouts knives? It's like, yeah, Boy Scouts have always gotten knives because they're supposed to learn how to use them in the woods.
Yeah, it's one of the most useful tools. Everyone should have a pocket knife.
I think even the Simpsons took the piss out of it when they were debating it with the, what was there?
There was a wooden knife.
You know, they had, you had to use a rubber training knife until you learned the 10 don't, the 100 don't things to do with a knife.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
how pussy do you have to be?
Yeah, military combat training with pistols. So, you know, if you're running from the mutants, you know, pistols would be good to have, so that's a...
Bikes.
And motor bicycle building from 1906, so
that's,
you know, you
cool.
can make a way. So, yeah, just lots of fun. You know,
make
are you
a Harvey
really...
Danielson.
Are you really going to do anything with these books? Probably not. But it's fun to read standards and weapon training and pretend you're a badass, right? So,
hey, give them to your little nieces and nephews. See how long it takes to end up in the emergency ward on the weekends.
Well, especially if you give them art of soap making, because that's going to use lies.
Oh, chemical burns and how to make bombs. That's double useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've all just right, got kids, the list of books up, and I'm just randomly scrolling through them and just reading out names.
Oh, so, man. Timmy, go pass me the lie with your bare hands. What did you learn?
That you
don't listen
water.
To Are You. He's a
oh,
dick.
Dude, and I'm the guy who moved all my acids barehanded a couple weeks ago and then complaining 2 days later when my hands are falling apart. Oh, yeah, I'll be quick. Just move these four containers real quick. Why are my hands so hot? Ow. Ow. Yeah, I was that stupid. I ended up with pretty bad chemical burn on my little finger.
Like, where's the baking soda? Fuck. I guess if... Well, maybe not. Well, yeah, baking soda would neutralize most of those, wouldn't it?
Neutralize some acids.
Yeah, it should.
I mean, it's what you could start with if you don't have anything else, definitely.
So, anyways, despite this, you know, complete manual of beekeeping here.
Hey, if you want to make mead, you got to start with the bees.
That's true, actually. That's true. So, anyways,
I milk them though.
It's
very
it's
small tweezers.
Kind of hard. Done it.
You've done it.
Oh yeah. I made mead once. How do you think I did that?
Oh, I thought you milked bees.
Yeah, I know. But I did. How else would I make mead?
I'm not going to answer that question because, well, as we've already discussed on this show tonight, anything can be used.
Here you go, Morps. Take my 22-foot pole.
Yeah.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
That's all I've got. Does anybody have anything before I close out the show?
Nah, I'm pretty good.
Oh, does anyone know why the Federal Reserve couldn't do some wire
emergency
Monday?
Emergency.
No.
Okay, then, yeah. I haven't actually looked it up yet.